Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
Sometimes it can be a little confusing for some people as they observe those of us who name the name of Christ. Because in this world there are many people who claim that they're Christians. They go to church each week. They sing the songs that Christians sing. They pray the prayers. They even quote the scriptures, chapter and verse. Yet their lives give no evidence of a relationship with Christ. They live the way that everyone else lives in this world. Maybe even worse sometimes. And the question we might ask ourselves, the question that Paul asks, and he answers in the first 14 verses of Romans chapter 6, is this. Can we, who claim to belong to Christ, can we, who claim to have a relationship with Him, not have that relationship affect us in some way? Won't there be a change in the way we think? Won't there be a change in the way that we live, a change in our goals, a change in our desires, a change in our attitude? These are certainly reasonable questions, aren't they? For the first 5 chapters of Romans, Paul has given us in great detail the undisputable fact that from God's perspective, we all stand condemned before Him because of our sin. It's a seemingly hopeless situation, but a situation that He has made right by making us right before Him through the death of His Son, who took our sin upon Himself, who bore our sin in His body, so that He has opened the way to God. It is an offer from the God of the universe for salvation. An offer of deliverance from our sin for those who will believe. Salvation through Christ Jesus our Lord. And though our sin dominated our lives and condemned us to death and to judgment, eternal judgment, Paul says in Romans 5 verses 20 and 21 that it was sin that was our taskmaster. He was ruling over us. And though this is true for all of us, Paul points out that the blessing of God, His grace towards us, has exceeded our sin. It has exceeded our sin through Christ. So we who believe are transformed. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, now we are a new creation in Christ. He lives within us, we're told in Galatians chapter 2. So then, since this is true, Paul asks us in Romans chapter 6 verse 1, what shall we say then? Since these things are true, and we claim that they're true in our lives, are we, who now belong to Christ, are we to continue in sin? Epimeno in Greek. Is that to be the pattern of our lives? Is that how we are to live? Is that where we are to remain? We say we have a new life. We say we have a new life in Christ. So how can we be content to stay in our old life of sin anymore? Better question might be this. How can a person who truly belongs to Christ continue in sin thinking that the grace of God might increase? Pleonazo in Greek. That it might cover our sins, set us free from those sins while we are abusing His grace. And we are trampling on the blood of Christ by our sinful behavior. No thought that we are hurting Him. Paul's answer comes in verse 2 of Romans chapter 6. May it never be. Megenatha in Greek. No, no, never. It's not true. We're only fooling ourselves if we believe that. Sin does not please God. And if Christ truly lives within us, though we may stumble at times, though we may fail, and we all do, still, the desire of our heart is not to obey our lusts. It is not to obey our passions. It is not to obey the enemy of our souls. It is to obey Christ. That is the desire of our heart. So how then shall we, Paul says, who have died to sin? We have been delivered from our sin. We have been delivered from death in Christ. Sin no longer has dominion over us anymore. Sin has been defeated at the cross. It no longer has the authority over us that it once did. So Paul asks, how shall we then still live in sin? Are we to live in a way, in a lifestyle that disgraces Christ the way we once did before we knew Him as our Lord? Death and life cannot exist in us at the same time, in the same place. We cannot be spiritually dead and spiritually alive. We are either dead or we are alive. As we're told in 1 John 3:9, those who are born of God do not practice sin. They don't practice it as a way of life anymore. If we're spiritually alive, alive in Christ, then we will not be able to persist in our sin. At some point, we will let go of it in repentance and in tears and fall at the feet of our Savior and submit ourselves to Him. Or do you not know, Paul says in verse 3, agnoeo, you without knowledge? Don't you understand? Don't you recognize these things? That all of us who know Christ, have been baptized into Christ. Baptizo in Greek. Are you not aware that we who belong to Christ, we who have put our faith in Him, have been immersed in Him? That is what the word means. Baptizo. It's a transliteration of the Greek word. Not a translation. The translation is immersed. We are immersed in Christ. We have no life of our own. That is the reality. We're one with Him. We are permanently intertwined with Him. We are forever identified with Him. He's within us. He's around us. Baptizo. Our lives are submerged in Him. And We have been baptized, it says in verse 3. Again, the word baptizo. We've been immersed, like being drowned, submerged in his death. Think of it this way. Christ died. So we have died. Well, who we were has died. Our old self has died. Our sinful self is dead. Does that surprise us? Think of it this way. The death of Christ is a historical fact, is it not? Therefore, in the same way, our death, the death of who we were, is also a historical fact. And what is the proof of our death? Paul tells us in verse 4, he says, we have been buried with him. Sunthapto, buried together with him. When he went in the tomb, we went in the tomb with him, who we were. Went in that tomb. We were spiritually dead, so we were buried. Buried through baptism, Paul says. Baptisma. Through the act of being submerged in his death. A reality which water baptism pictures and illustrates. As we are submerged under the water. But this passage of Scripture is not about water baptism. It is not about salvation through water. It is about salvation through Christ. Salvation through his death. And that is our testimony. Is it not that we are submerged into his death? But we don't remain there, do we? That's not the whole story. The death of who we were has a purpose. There's more to this story. We were submerged into the death of Christ for a reason. And Paul says it is in order that as Christ was raised from the dead, agero, awakened unto life, through the glory, through the majesty, through a divine miracle of God the Father. So we too are made alive. We have been awakened unto life by a divine miracle. In Christ, we are spiritually alive. Alive for what purpose? Alive for what reason? Paul says not to wallow in our sin anymore. That's not the reason. We have been awakened unto life. He says, so we might walk, peripateo in Greek, so we might live, so we might conduct ourselves in newness of life. Kenates, with a quality of life unlike anything that we have ever experienced before. A life that is now characterized by righteousness, by goodness, by worship. Not a life that is characterized by sin. We're a new creation in Christ. We have a new heart. We have a new spirit. We're even told we have a new name. Well, yes, it's true. We're not all that we will be someday. We know that. And it is equally true that we are not all that we desire to be even now. But in Christ, we are not who we once were. So we can take heart. We can be encouraged. For if now we have become united with him, it says in verse 5. United with Christ. Sumphutos. Joined together with him. In the likeness. The homoioma. The made like him. One with him. because of his death. If that is the case, then, Paul says, certainly, indeed, it is true, we shall be united with him and rise up with him in the likeness of his resurrection. As he was resurrected from the grave, so we have been resurrected. We are now alive, raised to life, new life, growing in grace, growing in our relationship with him until we see him face to face. Knowing this, Paul says, verse 6, ginosko, having this understanding, now having spiritual eyes, spiritual insight, that our old self, palaios, our former self. But it's more than that. That word also means our useless self. Our self that served no purpose in life. We were rotten. We were decaying, it says in Ephesians 4:22. We were bound up in the lusts of our deceit. That's who we were. That is who has been crucified. That is who has been nailed to the cross with Christ. Our old self is dead and gone. That our body of sin, that our body which is prone to sin, that our body which is stained by sin, might be done away with, Paul says. Katargeo. It might be rendered powerless over us, so that we are not led around by our lusts and by our passions anymore. Our old self has been crucified with Christ. Well, our old self may have been crucified, but our old body still remains with us, doesn't it? And that can be a problem sometimes, because our physical and our emotional desires can try to control us. And the longer we walk with Christ, the more aware we become of our weaknesses, the more aware we are of our shortcomings and of our failures. But thanks be to God that in Christ there is victory over this body of sin, that there is victory over our flesh. The flesh will continue to try and dominate us until we are in glory. But it is also true that now, in Christ, there is power. There is divine resource to bring our lusts into subjection. That we should no longer be, Paul says, slaves to our sin. Doluo. Serving sin. Yielding to it. The power of sin has already been broken in Christ. For he who has died, Paul says, as our old self has died at the cross, is freed. De kaio. We have been vindicated. We are acquitted. We are released from our sin. Sin is no longer our master. Our slavery to sin is over forever. May not feel that way sometimes, does it? Because sin is relentless. And in our weakness, sin still looks rather attractive to us sometimes. And it keeps trying. Trying to bring us back into subjection. Into submission. Into bondage. But now, if we have died with Christ, our old self is dead. If we belong to Him and we believe it's true, we're confident of that, then we believe this, Paul says, that we shall also live. Sudzao, live together with Him. And that is not just in the future. That is not just in heaven. We believe that now we have fellowship with Him. We are one with Him, both now and forever. Nothing can separate us from Him. Knowing, understanding, oida, understanding that this is true, that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never, upite, never, ever, to die again. His sacrifice of Himself is sufficient to redeem us, to buy back our souls from death, so now death no longer is master over Him. Kurio'o, death has no jurisdiction over Him, has no authority over Him. The power of death has died. It's died in Christ. For the death that He died to sin. He died to pay for our sin. That is why He died. And though He had no sin of His own, did He? Our sin was placed on Him. He carried the weight of our sin in His body, we're told in 1 Peter 2:24. And so, He suffered the wrath of God for our sin. Once for all, Paul says in verse 10, Ephapax. One time, for all time, and for all eternity. But the life that He now lives, and where does He live? He lives in the glory of heaven, doesn't He? He lives to God, Paul says. He lives for His glory. Even so, in the same way that Christ is alive from the dead and living for the glory of God, in the same way, think of yourself now, consider yourselves, lo gizomai, let this truth sink into your mind. Affirm it to be true, don't waver, don't doubt it. Recognize this. Recognize who you are in Christ. Regard yourself, he says, to be dead to sin. That time in our lives is over. So now, when we sin, we walk among the dead. We are alive, but we walk among the dead. But hold on to this truth. We're alive to God. We're alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, verse 12, let us now live according to who we are, not according to who we were. Sin is no longer our master. So, do not let sin, do not allow it to reign, basaluo, to have its influence over you. Do not let it control your lives any longer the way we once did, dominating us, reigning over us, reigning in our mortal body, Paul says, reigning in our flesh, that we should now obey, hupakuo, listen to it, and respond to it, and to its lusts. Don't listen to it any longer. This is a command for us. But we know how difficult that can be sometimes. Sin comes to us with a voice that is smoother and sweeter than honey sometimes. But in reality, it is like drawn swords ready to cut us into pieces, dragging us deeper and deeper into the pit of anguish and misery and sorrow. So, do not go on, Paul says. Stop doing it. Stop presenting parastemi. Stop yielding yourself. Stop giving up your body, the members of your body. Melos, your body parts. Stop giving your body parts to sin. Sin does not reign in our soul. But if we are not careful, we can allow sin to reign in our body. Then there is the danger that the enemy will use us as instruments, Paul says in verse 13. Hoplon, implements, weapons. Weapons of unrighteousness, adikia, tools of wickedness, implements of evil, weapons working against Christ, working against his kingdom. But instead, we who know Christ must present ourselves, we must yield ourselves to God, to the leading of his Spirit as he speaks to us through his word as those who are alive from the dead. And so, we yield our members, every part of us, as instruments, as weapons of righteousness, dikaiosune, weapons of virtue, weapons of integrity, submitting ourselves to God. So don't fear. Paul tells us, sin shall not be master over you any longer. Sin no longer holds us in its grasp, for you are not under the power, under the condemnation of the law of God. The law of God only brings death to us because we fail to keep the commandments of God. But now, Paul tells us, you are under grace. You are in the hands of a gracious God. You are a new creation in Christ. You are not dead. You are alive in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Alive forevermore. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.